Honey, the kids are going nuts. Everybody's stir-crazy. And my patience is running thin.
It's almost lunchtime. Why don't we go to Caitlin's? Their food is amazing. And they have those awesome baskets filled with fun to keep the kids pacified and entertained.
Oh, that sounds perfect. What is it you like to get there again?
Ooh, for starters, I love their green chili and chicken nachos. Then, I usually get Mo's queso with the ground chuck patty, cheddar, and jack cheese, diced onions, tomatoes, and green chilies between two warm flour tortillas, served with a side of green or red chili. Yum! What about you?
Well, I'm famished, so I think I'll get one of their 13 sandwiches. Maybe I'll get one of each. And I love the way you can get their sandwiches made into wraps instead. Maybe one of their bacon green chili cheese burgers, or their salads, or
honey, rein it in. Kids, we're going to Caitlin's.
Caitlin's Restaurant at the corner of Mississippi and South Birch Street, just east of Colorado Boulevard in Glendale. Open Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 2 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday, 6 a.m. to 3 p.m. Caitlin's Restaurant. You'll love it every bite of the way.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Good morning. Welcome back. Grab your legal coffee, your legal bagel. It's the Bell and Pollock Legal Show, we call it, and it is the Champions of the People Injury Show. We cover a different injury subject each week, and this show airs on different venues throughout the state of Colorado every week. We've been doing this for a long time. We do other shows as well. We do a live call-in show on Saturday morning that airs on four different venues throughout the state of Colorado. That show, you can call us and ask us a question on any legal subject. We do other injury shows as well. Just go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. You can see all the places where we air our shows, and then you can listen to the recording if you want to. Today we're talking about recreational waivers. What's that? You engage in a recreational activity like rafting, like organized sports, like hiking, and then you have to sign a release. And so let's talk about rafting. One way to attack a release, and Brad, as I said at the beginning of the show, the top of the show, Brad is very good at this. One way to attack the release is, let's talk about rafting. You know, you have to be told, and rafting is a good example, you have to be told what kind of rapids you're going to confront. Because, I've used the example before. I did a rafting trip down in Arizona, and there was a rapid called Lava Falls. Well, my goodness, Lava Falls went almost straight down. So they have to tell you that's going to happen. If they just say on the release, well, you're going to experience some rapids and then off you go, and all of a sudden you're going straight down a waterfall with rocks, you weren't informed of the risk. So that's one way to attack the waiver that you signed, because you're not going to go on the trip without signing a waiver, I promise you. But are they enforceable? Okay, so Brad, we got trains, we got airlines, they can't enforce them. What are some other things we need to know about these releases? Because they always put it up to your face. They say you can't sue us once the injury occurred because you signed the release, but that's not necessarily the end of the story.
It's not. There's a four-prong test that's brought up in Jones versus Dressel, and it's important to understand what those four prongs are. The first prong, or the first element, or the first factor that you were bringing up is there very clearly, that you look at the nature of the services and whether or not there's an existence of a duty to the public. And that's what you were talking about. And that existence of a duty to a public comes up when you start talking about whether or not the activity affects the public interest or owes a duty to the public. Those activities are normal, as you were talking about, Gary, airlines, trains, those type things. Recreational services are not necessary, and therefore the providers of such activities own no special duty to the public. If you're dealing in a necessary activity to the public, then it's going to be a different standard. And it's a whole different game, and that's where for sure you want to make sure you're talking to an attorney, because probably any waiver or release there is not going to have much validity. Then you start talking about the nature of the services performed by by the entity that's seeking to enforce a release. Are they engaging in performing a public service of great importance or even of practical necessity? Once again, what we're talking about today are recreational service activities, and those aren't going to be considered to be essential services or an essential activity, and they're not offered as a necessity or essential to the public or something the public has to have. So in that situation, once again, you're going to have a different set of rules, because the Jones versus Dressel set forth four different factors that puts you into different sets of rules. But then you come up to Jones versus Dressel and you talk about the third factor, and the third factor is whether the contract was fairly entered into. And now you've got a lot of questions. Was that contract fairly entered into? And you know, you got to look at the circumstances of what happened and what's going on to determine if it's fairly entered into. And I would argue, you know, Gary, if you're going down this rafting and there's a particular waterfall that they know is really a bad one.
Yeah, it's almost straight down.
And it's going to be almost straight down. They've got a duty not only to give you the release and say, here, sign it, we're going to be going on some whitewater rapids, or we're going to be headed down the river, but they need to look at you and say, there's a part here that goes almost straight down. And you may think you're experienced, but we would be telling you that's not a very good thing for you to be going straight down on that boat and thinking you're going to be all right. And not just can you swim well, so when you're in the pool down below underneath the rapid, you can maybe get your head up out of the water. But let's talk about the very activity itself, in that part of the activity, because you may have some very mild water, then you might get some of those rapids that are kind of fun that you're going down class 3 or class 4, and then you start getting into the higher classes and all of a sudden they're going, look, we've got guides who don't want to go down that rapid, we're not so sure you should. That should be spelled out very clearly, not just told to you,
right?
That should be spelled out in the paperwork,
and it should be identified to you. You know, you got to look at it. You got to have your eyes wide open if you're going to sign a waiver release for you, your family, your children. You have to have your eyes wide open, and that's a simplistic way to look at it, but it is realistic. And they have to disclose certain matters to you. If they didn't disclose lava falls or the type of rapids rated 1 through 10, then there's a problem, because you might not have gone on the trip. You might not have taken your 12-year-old on the trip, right? Brad was talking about the factors in a case called Jones versus Dressel, D-R-E-S-S-E-L, Jones versus Dressel. I gave you the history in Colorado earlier about how in 1960 the law was one way. You're right, you know, they could enforce the waivers. And then in 2002 with Cooper versus Aspen Skiing Corporation, they changed it. And you know, basically said the waiver was against public policy and not enforceable. And now that's changed, because, believe me, some waivers are enforceable, right? But there's factors under this Jones case, and Brad was talking about four of them. And that's why you can't have a waiver on an airplane, because they deem that to be an essential public function, right? An essential public function. And therefore, there can be no waiver. But they've ruled, Brad, and you mentioned it a minute ago, that recreational activities, some of them, you know, like horseback riding, are not an essential public function. Therefore, you can have waivers that are effective against you, the injured victim, on those type of activities.
Right. And, you know, when we talk about the third factor, Jones versus Dressel, and what they're looking at is they want to talk about whether the contract is fairly entered into. And that's making sure there's full and complete knowledge of what you're about to get into. Then you got to understand the nature of the service that's involved, the circumstances surrounding the formation of the contract, whether the contract or the service provider available from another source other than the party that you're contracting with. Because, you know, and this is one that you talk about. Is peer pressure enough to say you place the person in a situation where they couldn't back out of the contract? that they couldn't do it, or it's family pressure, that you have advertising going on and all the time saying, hey, come white rafting in beautiful Colorado, and you're sending that out to all the tourist industry, and the tourist people are saying, hey, we're going to go whitewater rafting, or we're going to go rafting, and the mother and father are saying, we're going to go whitewater rafting, and they're joining up with other cousins and aunts and uncles, and so next thing you know, you got a group of 20 that are going to go whitewater rafting, and maybe two or three are really good, the other ones aren't, none of them really know the river, and you know, all of a sudden, you're there with your two kids and your spouse, and you've got all these relatives or friends and everybody else, they're going to get on there, and you're going, I don't want to go on that. I don't want to go on that at all.
Want to sign that form.
Yeah, well, you're going, I don't want to go on it, I'm going to be forced, and the only way I can go on it is if I sign this form. And, you know, if I don't sign it, then we can't go on it. And I don't really feel good about that because I don't like what's being said, even if now, just now they're telling me that. If that information could have been sent to you a month earlier when you were paying your deposit and you were giving your money and they would have given it to you then, you might have very well said, I'm not paying that deposit. And you'd have been sitting in your home in Nebraska or Kansas or somewhere else where the whitewater rafting isn't near the same as it is when you're in Colorado and going through the mountains. And so you're going, now I'm stuck. I'm here with my kids. What am I going to do? So I'm not signing this and watch my kids and my spouse say, oh, no, come on. We're not going. We can't go. Everybody else is getting on there, and we're going to have to ride the bus back down to the ending point, and that's our whole day. We had the whole day cut out to do this rafting. We're in our swimsuits. We're in our little special booties that we wear for skiing or for water rafting, and we're all set to go, and they're going, come on. And what kind of circumstance did you place as the provider of the services, did the provider of the services place the person into to make it figure out whether or not that it's the circumstance of the contract? Now, am I saying you're going to win just on that? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying these are some of the simpler circumstances that you want to look at and find out whether or not this non-essential service is still something that in a way you're trapped. You can't get out of it.
So, there are many legal factors that go into whether this document that you signed either for yourself or your children is enforceable against you once somebody's been injured. Many. It depends on the facts of the case. One, it depends on the law that's going to apply. It depends if there's a statute. You can call us right now, anytime, right now, 303-795-5900. That's 303-795-5900. We'll be glad to answer your questions. We do cases all over the state of Colorado. We have years of experience to put to work for you. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. These shows are for you. All of our shows are on our website. We have 8 free books on injury subjects on our website, championsofthepeople.com. And we do it so that you'll be educated and informed. Because let's face it, if you're trying to get your family onto a summertime recreation activity and you say to them, I don't want to sign your forms, but I want my family to go anyway, what are they going to say to you? Bell and Pollock, Champions of the People, will be right back.
Mandy Connell here with the Legal Minute from my friends at Bell and Pollock. Listen for more great advice on the Bell and Pollock Injury Show, Saturdays at 10 on KOA.
Hi, I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys, and this is your Legal Minute. You're sitting in a stoplight, then boom, you're hit from behind, you're rear-ended. The driver gets out, and they say, I'm sorry. Gee, I'm sorry, I don't have any insurance. Or worse yet, they give you an insurance card, and you call, and it's expired. And there's no insurance, but you have lost wages, you have injuries, you have medical bills piling up. What are you going to do? What can you do? And I'll tell you what, we've preached many times, we've done many shows on what you can do before an accident happens. You can buy your own UIM coverage. With your own car insurance policy, the highest limits that you can afford. Because when you do this and the other driver has no insurance or not enough insurance, you're still protected. If you have any questions, call us. Bell and Pollock will help you.
Get more information or help from Bell and Pollock at championsofthepeople.com. Mandy Connell here with the Legal Minute from my friends at Bell and Pollock. Listen for more great advice on the Bell and Pollock Injury Show, Saturdays at 10 on KOA.
Hi, I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys, and this is your Legal Minute. Let's talk about myths. Let's talk about myths in this business. You've been rear-ended. You've been injured. One myth is you think, surely there's insurance. Surely that's what insurance is for. Some insurance company is going to pay me. That's a myth. They're going to fight you. This is going to be a war. You need a strategy and a legal game plan to win the war. You can have a strategy and legal game plan at Bell and Pollock. Our website, championsofthepeople.com. We wrote a book entitled Legal Game Plan. Why? Because insurance companies have strategies against you. You need your own strategy or strategies to beat them and to win the war. But you can win the war. Bell and Pollock, championsofthepeople.com will help you.
Get more information or help from Bell and Pollock at championsofthepeople.com.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Good morning. Welcome back. Here we go. The Bell and Pollock Legal Show, the Champions of the People Injury Show. We call it the Champions of the People Injury Show because it is. We champion people's injury claims, and we've done it for years. We can help you. We can help your family. We understand injuries affect the entire family structure. 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900 in the mountains, 970-870-8989, and our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. And if you just want to get on our website, you can communicate with us through that website. We can talk to you. We can do it by remote. We can do it by video conferencing. We have different platforms that you can use to talk to us. You can retain Bell and Pollock and hire us from the comfort of your own house and never come in here from the time you hire us until we get a settlement for you. 303-795-5900, championsofthepeople.com. Today we're talking about recreational releases. So you're standing there, you sign a release, right? I mean, if you're going to put your child into organized sports, you're going to sign a release. If you're going to go snowmobiling, you're going to sign a release. But there are certain situations that give a little bit different flavor and twist to it. But what Brad and I want to tell you today is if you signed a release and somebody's injured and they say, well, you signed a release, you don't have a choice. You don't have a chance. You can't bring a claim against us. Don't buy that. It has to be looked at. It has to be analyzed. It has to be legally analyzed and dissected. And many, many times when you're told, well, there's nothing you can do about it, there is something you can do about it for your injury or the injuries to your family. Okay, but let's talk about maybe a ski resort situation, right? You go up there, you know, normally you don't sign a waiver to go to get buy a lift ticket and go in the lift line and go up in the mountain and go skiing. There are certain sports and venues in Colorado that have special statutes that override everything else we're talking about. Skiing is one of them. Skiing has its own statute. But does that mean you can't win? No, that doesn't mean that, but you have to understand the statute. Baseball, when the Rockies came to Denver, they weren't going to come unless somebody passed a statute protecting the fans from flying balls, flying bats, and all those kind of natural incidences to the sport itself. So let's just talk about that a minute.
Right, and that's, you know, when you talk about not signing the waiver release, a lot of times you talk about buying the ticket. And by purchasing the ticket, that information on the back of the ticket is something you may be bound to. So then you start saying, well, what if somebody else buys the ticket for me and hands me the ticket as I'm walking in? Or what if I, and therefore I didn't buy the ticket based on that? As your attendance alone, when you're walking in, acceptance of that, and they try and make it that. Most venues will try and make it that you buy, by virtue of you accepting a ticket and walking into our venue under the use of that ticket, you are now waiving certain rights and certain abilities to recover due to our negligence. Remember, this is always due, they're always trying to get rid of responsibility for their own negligence. If this is a matter where you get hurt and no negligence is involved, then nobody cares. There's nobody to hold responsible. And if this is a matter where the actions are willful and wanton and egregious that have resulted in the injury by somebody, then, and what we call gross negligence, then you're probably not going to have to worry about the waiver release either. Where you have to worry is where there was negligence by the supplier of the goods or the activities or one of their employees, and you're hurt as a result of it, and now you're trying to figure out whether or not you have the right to recover. And, one of the questions is always going to be, was it fairly entered into? And then that also includes, did you enter into it at all? Did you actually get the ticket? What about these places that have passes? And you can share the passes with other people, and they hand you the pass. And therefore, you didn't enter into an agreement with the ski resort at all, or you didn't enter into the agreement with the Illiches at all, because you got the pass from somebody who gave it to you, and you didn't buy it. And you want to scrutinize very carefully what it says. And when you want to scrutinize very carefully what it says, that's where you come up to a question of, and the final factor of the Jones versus Dressel case is whether or not the language is clear and unambiguous language. And I'll tell you, I have gotten certain things that are warnings or this or that on the internet when it says, click this to see our terms of service, and it confuses me. I'm stumped about what are they really saying here? And of course, that's not where I'm going to get hurt. Maybe I will. Maybe they'll wipe out my computer as a result of it. But I'm sitting there going, I don't know what's being said under this terms of service. And when you flip over the ticket, or when you look at the waiver that you're signing and you look at it, the question you've got to ask is for whom should it be written? Should it be written for a person who has at best an eighth grade education? Should it be written for a person who has a law degree? For whom should it be written, and who should be able to understand what that document actually says?
Right. You can give us a call anytime, 303-795-5900. That's 303-795-5900. Or in the mountains, 970-870-8989. That's 870-8989, or just go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. That's championsofthepeople.com. You can contact us if you've been injured. We'll be glad to help you. One of the biggest takeaways we want you to take away from today's show is, just because you signed the release doesn't mean you can't recover. It might, but it doesn't mean it's automatic. And when somebody's injured and they say, well, you signed a release, you signed a waiver, goodbye, we don't have to do anything for you, you better run to Bell and Pollock. Just give us a call, 303-795-5900. That's 795-5900. You know, along the lines of what Brad was saying a minute ago, there was a case called Day versus Snowmass Stables, right? Horse stables in Snowmass, Colorado. And they signed a waiver, and there was faulty equipment. It was called a neck yoke ring on a horse-drawn wagon. The neck yoke ring broke, spooked the horses, and off they took, and then we got thrown from the wagon and injured. They said there was a release. You can't sue us. But they could in that case. You need to have that as a takeaway. They could. And Brad was so right when he said you have to look at the language. You have to look at the language of the release. And because the court in that case said that there was no reference to, quote, faulty equipment, end quote. And the neck yoke ring was faulty equipment, and you didn't release them from liability on a faulty equipment situation. So, Brad, the takeaway today, you can't just assume or let anybody just tell you, well, you signed a waiver, you signed a release, you can't do anything about it, so don't ever contact us again. We're going to close out your file. Goodbye. There are ways to do it, and Bell and Pollock can help you.
Sure. Let's talk about the location of the language. The language can't be the most critical language in a liability waiver cannot be presented in, like, this small font where you really can't read it, or hidden in the middle of a lengthy form. It's a challenge to properly write one, because they start talking about, well, we're going to try and include negligence, and negligence in maintaining the equipment, and negligence in selecting the horse, and negligence in training the horse, and negligence in leading it through the paths where you're going. And there's a million different things where negligence could be the problem. Now, what you hope is the supplier of the services isn't going to be negligent. How about that to begin with? You know, when you start hearing this, you go, oh man, it's so hard to write the waivers and everything else. Remember, once again, this is a waiver to release people from liability because they were negligent. So the first step, and sometimes I wish, and I'm not going at any particular one right now that I'm going to talk about, but sometimes you wish that the entity supplying the service, the snowmobiling, the skiing, the rafting, the horses, whatever, would have as much effort in making sure they're not negligent in carrying out their duty of care as they do in writing the liability form, waiving responsibility for being negligent. You wish they would have as much duty of care of supervising and overseeing and making sure the items are done, are done correctly, and the equipment is correct and the machinery is correct, as they are in having the liability waiver. And that the liability waiver, you should never, if you're hurt or if a loved one of you is hurt or somebody you know is hurt, you should never let them get away with simply being negligent and thinking they can hide behind a liability waiver or a release. That's not what is intended. And that's why these things are abhorred by the courts and they're looked at very carefully, because you don't want to let people just be negligent and hurting other people without any kind of responsibility.
I tell you one thing, you're not going to be able to get through this or navigate this claim without expertise and legal help. You can call Bell and Pollock anytime, right now, if you want, 303-795-5900. That's 303-795-5900. Or just go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. You can prevail. It has to be analyzed in detail. The facts of your case are important. The nomenclature and words used in the release and waiver are critical. How it was presented to you is important. The law is important. And the Jones versus Dressel case is paramount, right? That has to be analyzed in detail. But do not end this show. Do not end this show thinking there's nothing you can do about these things. You can. Okay? And that's why we said in the beginning of the show, sometimes yes, you can make a claim, and sometimes no, you can't. But don't sit there and assume, well, the insurance company told me I can't do anything about it. They're going to close out my file. Do not assume that's the end of the story or the end of the legal picture, because it may not be. Gary Bell, Brad Pollock. Our law firm is Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys. We bring this show to you every week to teach you and educate you on injury subjects. We do it because we are your champions of the people. See you next week.